And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The devil is in the Vatican. Oh, the devil is in the Vatican. I want to talk to you a little bit about that particular subject today, and we're going to really cover this in depth. We're going to look not only at Pope Benedict, who is accused of defending, you might say, letting child molesters off the hook in his church, but we're going to look at the Catholic Church, the Vatican itself, St. Peter's Cathedral in particular, and we will ask the question, is the devil residing in the Vatican? Has he made it his home? Does he encourage the acts that go on there? Vile fornication and sexual acts. Well, we're going to look specifically at church officials, but we're going to go beyond that. What really is the aim of the Catholic Church in this, the 21st century? And how does the legions of pedophile priests fit in with what's going on? More than that, are there secretly closet Jews who are gay? Jews, Jewish priests, who supposedly converted to Catholic, but they're still doing vile acts. It shows they have certainly haven't converted to Christianity. After all, converting to Catholicism is way, way different. It's a miles and miles apart from converting to Christianity, which is probably true of any denomination, from the Lutheran Episcopal to the Catholic Church. All of those groups are miles away from true Christianity. But the Catholic Church has plans. They include Mormonism, the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, and really the joining of Satanic Judaism, the synagogue of Satan, with the Vatican of Rome. There's a joining going on. Actually, it's been ongoing for several hundred years, but it's now being consummated, if you understand what I mean. We're going to talk about a little-known group called the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Order, the Knights of Malta, what that might have to do with the world situation today. A lot of people write to me and ask, Tex Mars, what do you say about the Jesuit order? Well, it's evil. Well, what else can I say? I hope someday to do a video exposing Jesuitism, blasphemously called the Society of Jesus, or simply the Jesuit order with its black pope. But we have another black pope, and he sits at St. Peter's Basilica, has his luxurious apartment there in the Vatican in Rome. I've been there, not into the apartment of the pope. They wouldn't let me do that, but I know quite a bit. I've been several times to visit the Vatican and the city of Rome, of course. I'll tell you a little bit about my own observations, what I noticed there. You know, I'm sort of a unusual tourist, to say the least, Tex Mars, because I always put on my investigative glasses and ask God to give me discernment about what I'm seeing. And I usually see things that nobody else has ever seen. I saw one thing that was almost shocking to me, that suddenly appeared, a painting in a cupola, that means, you know, sort of a domed area of the Vatican inside St. Peter's Basilica the last time I was there. And I attempted to ask a tour guide what it was, and he didn't know. He said, you know, I've never even noticed that painting. We'll talk about that. It's quite striking to me. But this Knights of Malta organization, I believe if you want to ask what is the most heinous, satanic order of Catholicism, it is not the Jesuits. And I know there are people out there that believe the Jesuits are the root of all evil. Well, let's just say they're part of the root. You know, they're not the root, but they're part of the root. But there is a group even more powerful than the Jesuits. At one time, the Jesuits were the most powerful secret society of the Vatican, but they've been undone, you might say, or I should say they're just one of several orders. But the most secret of all, and the most powerful with worldwide influence, and especially in the United States of America, is a group called the Knights of Malta. Now, Pope Benedict, this very week, visited the island of Malta in the Mediterranean. About 447,000 people reside or live on this small island, and almost all of them are Catholic. The island of Malta. If you have a Maltese dog, well, some people say they came from the island of Malta. You might remember the movie series, I guess it was a series, back in the, was it the 40s, 1930s, 40s, detectives series called The Maltese Falcon. The Maltese Falcon, a famous detective series. I think there were novels, and then they made it into a movie series. We'll talk about the falcon and the symbology of this bird in terms of Malta, and why the Pope, at the very height of this pedophile scandal that the Catholic Church worldwide is embroiled in, why he would decide to make a trip to Malta. I know. It's a great secret, by the way. He landed by boat. Of course, he has helicopters. He has executive jets. But it was all arranged so that he would symbolically land by boat, by sea. The sea beast. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. I hope we have time today. We have so much to cover. Now, you might say, well, what does this have to do with me? Well, first of all, friends, I assume that you, like Tex Mars, are sickened and disgusted by these Catholic priests and by the Pope, who has helped cover up the hideous works of his priest, ranging from cardinal all the way down to the lowliest monk. This is a church of serpentine, pedophile homosexuals. And during the days of Pope John Paul II, who now went away, wore his little red slippers in his casket that was shaped in the form of a satanic symbol. I've talked about that on this program before. Pope John Paul II, as everyone from George W. Bush and Laura Bush sat there at the memorial service and looked on the body. They were just a few feet from it. I'm not surprised. George W. Bush almost worshiped Pope John Paul II. Many politicians do, of course. George W. is now in retirement, but recently, according to news reports, he was given an award by the Order of St. Legatus. Legatus, the Legatus Award. Standing beside him while he got this Catholic award, I'm talking about now George W. Bush, the president, former president, was Newt Gingrich. And Newt Gingrich then introduced a film of the life of Pope John Paul II at the celebration. I'll tell you about that if I have time. Of course, Newt Gingrich is now converted to Catholicism. It's interesting to me that we have 9 justices on the Supreme Court. 9 justices on the Supreme Court. A nice number, because 9 represents 666. Add 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. 1 plus 8 equals 9. 9 is the hidden number of the beast, 666. 9 members of the Supreme Court. And would you believe it? John Paul Stevens, one of the justices, is retiring. When he does, already people are talking about the fact that Obama is expected to put on the Supreme Court a Jew. Some say it's going to be this Asian guy who's Catholic, but others say it may be a Harvard lesbian who's a Jew. I'm sort of leaning toward the lesbian. Since Obama is known to be a bisexual himself, I suspect it'll probably be the lesbian that he appoints to the Supreme Court. When he does, if it is the lesbian Jew from Harvard, a professor now at Harvard, there will be 6 Catholics and 3 Jews on the Supreme Court. Not even one Protestant. There's twice as many Protestants in the United States as Catholics, but we won't even have one Supreme Court judge to represent us. That's the way it goes. But I mean, that's a satanic organization anyway. So, you know, so what? And in fact, folks, there's no such thing as a Protestant anyway left. There's little bitty churches out there that I highly recommend and believe in. Little bitty churches, independent churches. Not many of them left. They're hated, despised. Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, he's called America's pastor. Oh, yes, Rick Warren, member of the Council on Foreign Relations and Henry Kissinger's Religious Roundtable. That's right. Rick Warren. He says these fundamentalist Christians, they're the greatest danger to society anyway. So they need to get, you know, be gotten rid of, I suppose, in Rick Warren's eyes. And Joel Osteen, he wouldn't even know what I'm talking about if I asked him what he thought about fundamentalist preachers. He would say, I don't know. I just want everybody to have their best life now. I don't care if you're Jew or Hindu or Buddhist. It don't matter to God. I just want everybody to have a good life. Yeah, I'm Joel Osteen. So, you know, what does it matter to him? But back to the Pope. According to the London Times, you don't read much like this in the United States. The Vatican has a priest who's been assigned for over a quarter of a century to a special job. He's the chief exorcist. Now, I guess if you saw the movie, The Exorcist, was it? You know, the Catholic Church has a number of priests who are designated as exorcists. It's a very strange thing because I don't think the devil can kick the devil out of somebody. It doesn't work like that. You know, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the 7 sons of Shiva, Shiva was a priest, obviously, and I believe it that has some connection with Hinduism. You know, Judaism is very, very related to Hinduism when you get down to its base level and study the Talmud and the Kabbalah. That's right. Hinduism and Judaism are very much close together. And I know you say that cannot be, but if I had an hour, I'd show you the main points of it. But in any case, Shiva, of course, is one of the primary Hindu gods. And in the Bible, they're the sons of Shiva, or Shiva, S-C-E-V-A, it's spelled in the Bible. They saw the Apostle Paul performing miracles, and they were so impressed. And here were these priests of Shiva, evidently this Hindu-like sect, even back in the days of Jesus Christ, in the Holy Land, in Israel. Now, it says that the sons of Shiva, being so impressed with the Apostle Paul having these miracles, wanted to know how he was doing it. And they said, well, he's got Jesus. He believes in this Jesus. And he's casting out devils, Paul is, in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, that's a good idea then. We'll just cast out devils in the name of this Jesus. Anybody can do it, obviously. Just if you know the name, the magic name. The Jews have always wanted to know the magic name of God. Well, this Jesus must have been a holy man, and if we use his name, they evidently reasoned, we can cast out devils and have miracles too. So they started practicing that. Now, the problem is the devils didn't quite cooperate. According to the book of Acts, when these sons of Sceva cast out the devils or tried to, the devils and the individuals that were possessed said to them, "Who are you?" Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but we don't know who you are. And they attacked the sons of Sceva and beat the dickens out of them. No, they didn't really beat the dickens because the dickens is the devil, but they beat them pretty bad. The Bible says the sons of Sceva were beaten up by the devils. I suppose it was by these possessed men. So they had come to these men and said, "You know, I cast you out in the name of Jesus," but the devil said, "Who are you to cast us out? You think you can cast us out? We don't know you. In other words, we don't honor your authority. You have no authority over us. We know Paul. If he were to cast us out, we'd get out of there. We know Jesus for sure. We were up in heaven with him before, and he expelled us down here to earth. But you, we don't know you." And they attacked the sons of Sceva. I suspect these Catholic priests who claim to be exorcists had better be very, very careful. It's interesting, in the movie The Exorcist, of course it was just a movie, but the priest was attempting, it was one of the main characters, to cast out the devils from this young girl, and they entered him. And he went insane and threw himself out the window and died. Well, friends, let me tell you something. I read one time about a Methodist pastor who didn't believe in devils and things. He didn't believe in devils. But he thought himself to be a Christian. He went over to the Orient and he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in that temple in there and I'm going to drive out the Buddhist monks that were there. And tell them that they're worshiping a false religion and all that. I'm going to preach to them and all that." He went in and he came out babbling mad, an insane man. He was totally possessed by the devils out there. Friends, don't go up against the devil unless you've got Jesus Christ inside. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The devil cannot touch you. You better watch out if you think you can fight the devil without the power of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a Christian, it's a totally different thing. If you're a true Christian, it's a totally different thing. The devil cannot even touch you, cannot bother you. He better not, because you've got the Holy Spirit inside. And the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the devil, and the devil knows you are protected. Don't you remember the book of Job? God taunted the devil, tormented the devil. Said, "What do you think about my disciple Job?" The devil said, "Well, I can't touch him. I can't reach him." But that's because you can put a hedge of protection around him. Of course, God puts a hedge of protection around his people. And that's why I wake up every morning with a smile on my face. I'm not worried about the devil. I'm not worried at all. I'm worried about what he can do to other people, but not Tex Mars. Is it because I'm so powerful or I have mental powers or I'm a positive thinker? Absolutely not. I have no power in and of myself. But I do have the Holy Ghost inside of me. I have the Holy Spirit, and he protects me. He keeps the devil away from me. I sleep good at night. I don't worry. So that's the way, that's the way of a Christian life. The devils have powers, but not over a Christian. How could they? They've already been banished. They're awaiting judgment, dear friends. Don't you understand? The devils will be judged in due time. As Jesus was walking up to the cemetery of the Gadarenes, the possessed man, full of a legion of devils, cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth, why do you come to torment us before our time?" Just Jesus walking by Frighten the devils. I went into the largest occult bookstore in the world, met the owner, and he was, I mean, literally, the guy was shaking. Is it because I look so threatening or I'm so mean? No. I had a smile on my face. I said, nice to meet you, sir. Of course, I had some questions to ask you about his bookstore. I don't think he appreciated my questions. But in any case, he was scared. I've met people like that before, possessed by devils. And let me tell you something. The devils begin to shake when they confront the Holy Spirit. Now, according to the London Times, the chief exorcist of the Vatican himself, the chief exorcist, Father Gabriele Amorth, A-M-O-R-T-H, says the devil is in the Vatican. He says the sex abuse scandals in the Roman Catholic Church are proof that the devil is at work inside the Vatican. Now, he's 85 years old now, this father, they call him father, I'll just call him priest, Gabriel Amorth, who's been the Vatican's chief exorcist all these years. He said he's dealt with 70,000 cases of demonic possession. He says there are cardinals, there's only a couple hundred cardinals in the whole world. There are cardinals who do not believe in Jesus and bishops who are linked to the demon. Capital D, that's the devil. And this priest, the exorcist, Gabriel Amorth, says, when one speaks of the smoke of Satan in the holy rooms, it is all true, including these latest stories of violence and pedophilia. And he claimed that one example of satanic behavior was the Vatican cover-up over the deaths in 1998 of Alois Esteban, who was the commander of the Swiss Guard. Those are the guys that dress all up in these fancy uniforms with the hat or the headdress, and they supposedly guard the Vatican with their ceremonial swords and everything. You see them when you visit the Vatican. The commander of the Swiss Guard ended up dead. All found shot. A corporal in the guard also was shot. They covered up everything immediately, says Father or priest Gabriele Amorth. Here one sees the rot, R-O-T. Wow. Interesting. Well, is the priest Gabriele Amorth, the exorcist, correct? Does the devil live in the Vatican? Well, certainly the shame is in the Vatican. The sins, the crimes are there in the Vatican. But it's not only the Vatican, because the priest worldwide, I believe at least 80 to 90% of all priests are homosexual. Say, Tex, how do you know that? Because I've met many priests. I worked with many priests when I was in the chaplaincy in the Air Force. Oh, yes, I know about the priest. But it goes beyond that. You know, this very day, as I was driving to work, I was listening to a radio program, talk show program. Those were talking about a play, P-L-A-Y, you know, like a Broadway play, being held right here in Austin, Texas, where I'm from, downtown, at a theater called the City Theater. The play is entitled The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told. The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told. It's a Bible story. Who would have ever thought in a liberal city full of homosexuals, including not quite a few priests, there would be a play held at a theater called The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told About the Bible? Well, before you get too excited and think that the city of Austin might be, you know, reverting back to Christianity or something, let me tell you a little bit about this fabulous story. First of all the characters are homosexual. And there's not Adam and Eve, there's Adam and Steve. And as far as Eve goes, well, now what we've got is Eve and Mabel. So in the garden, there's four. It starts off back in Genesis, in this play. So there's Eve and Mabel and Steve and Adam, and they all have sex together. In fact, Steve and Adam, the two homosexuals in the Garden of Eden, enter the stage totally naked and show themselves frontal nudity. Well, it goes from there, and it goes sort of through the Bible all the way, I'm sure, to Jesus. And naturally, Jesus would be a homosexual man too, according to the most fabulous story ever told. Folks, what can we expect today? This is the year 2010. This is the United States of America. This is Sodom and Gomorrah reborn. Would it surprise you if I told you that the city theater, the man who approved this, who owns this theater, is a Roman Catholic? Oh, it wouldn't. Would it surprise you if I told you that the producer, the man who put the money forth for this production, is a Roman Catholic? Oh, it wouldn't. Well, it's true. As I was listening, the director of the production, a gay man named Jeff Hinkle, was explaining. He said, "I don't know why this is so controversial. It's simply the story of the Bible. We're trying to uphold the Bible. I don't know why any Christian would oppose it." And he said, "Why, the owner of the city theater and the producer, they are both devout." That's what he said, devout Roman Catholics. "And as for me, the director," said this gay man, "I'm a very dedicated Christian. I'm a Lutheran." Meanwhile, just up I-35 highway, go up to Fort Worth, Dallas, and the theater up there is having a production of a play entitled Corpus Christi, which means Body of Christ. What's the theme of it? Jesus is a homosexual, doing homosexual acts. You know, it's interesting to me. On one level, somebody would say, well, isn't this comical? If there really was an Adam and Steve, instead of an Adam and Eve, there would be no homosexuals alive today to have a play. Do you get it? In fact, there would be nobody on earth, because there's no procreation. But beyond that, I want you to think about something, friends. If this were a play that had Muhammad as a homosexual and had characters from the Quran, I'd say these three monstrous evil men, these two devout Catholics and this Lutheran director, would be walking dead men. Muslims wouldn't put up with it. Now, as a Christian, am I calling for the death of these three? No. Because Hebrews 9:27 is very interesting. It says, "It is appointed for a man once to live and die. Once, one lifetime, afterward, the judgment." God will take care of this. We don't have to. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. When I heard this on the radio, I had tears in my eyes. Was I angry at these three men? Oh, no. I feel great sympathy for them. I have sympathy for these men. I know their destiny. I know their fate. It's not necessary for me to harm these three men. They have harmed themselves. Stay tuned. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars again. You know, my newest book, Conspiracy World, is a tremendous work. The subtitle is I think, very, it'll tell you a little bit about this book. A Truth Teller's Compendium of Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge. And in this new book, Conspiracy World, I actually have an entire section on the Vatican and Catholicism. And I exposed the satanic worship that has been conducted right in the very heart of the Catholic world at the Vatican. I want you to have this book, Conspiracy World. There's so much more than just an exposure of the Vatican and its Satanism. But there is Satanism in the Catholic Church. There's no doubt about it. Conspiracy World has 137 different subjects. 137 different subjects. It's over, well over 400 pages, but they're big pages. It's equivalent to about an 800-page book if you just got a regular size book at the bookstore. And we're offering it to you for just $25. $25. Again, it's size of two or three regular books. Full of information, pictures, photographs, documentation. Conspiracy World. There is a world of conspiracy out there, and now we've exposed a lot of it in this book. But Texmars has only begun. I have a lifetime ahead of me. I'm not going to stop now, dear friends. So many people write to me and said, Tex, don't stop telling us the truth. Keep it up. Well, I thank you so much for your encouragement. And I'm going to do exactly that. I don't know what trials and tribulations Power of Prophecy is going to be going through. I know we're going through a few right now. My health has not been the best, so I would ask your prayers. But I'm not complaining. There's so many people worse off than me. I'm not complaining. This morning I got out of bed. I was hurting so much all over. Well, I'm not going to complain, I said, but here I am complaining. At great pain. But I pulled myself up, made it to the old coffee pot and breakfast table and sort of dragging myself, and Wanda helped me out and was able to take a shower and get to work. Here I am doing this program today. I'm in pain right now in several parts of my body. But you know, none of it matters to me because I'm going to get a new body someday. I don't even know what substance it's going to be. But I believe what the Bible says, He will resurrect us. When people ask me what is the greatest, the central focus of the Bible, I always tell them it's the resurrection. I like the birth of Jesus Christ in the flesh, but actually it's the resurrection that is the very heart of the gospel. If Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and He did, what does that tell you about you and me? He was the firstborn, and we belong to Him. Well, I'm so thankful to the Lord that, you know, again, these bodies are meant to grow old, to have disease, to have problems, to have pain, and then we go off to be with the Lord if we believe in Him. Now, I want you to have this book, Conspiracy World, a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. Satanism in the Vatican, it's all in Conspiracy World. And so much more. You'll learn about secret societies and orders. Even there's an article in there about Jesuits, the Jesuits, and how one of the leaders of the Jesuits, a publisher of its official magazine here in America, helped to found a little group that many of you have heard about called the 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous. You need to find out about that. Oh, yes, Father Bob. Father Bob helped to found Alcoholics Anonymous. Has some repercussions there, doesn't it? You'll want to hear about that in this book, Conspiracy World. Now, $25, please add $5 shipping and handling, and send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go online at powerofprophecy.com. This month I have an expose of a Roman Catholic congressman. His name is Ron Paul. I expose his connection to Freemasonry. Oh, he's been around to the Masonic lodges. And Congressman Ron Paul, well, I wouldn't say he's the biggest homosexual promoter out there, but boy, can he ever dance around the issue. My good friend John Lofton. I have great respect for John Lofton. He used to be, I believe he was a reporter for the Associated Press or United Press. I can't remember. John Lofton, a great writer. I used to get his newsletter. I don't think he publishes it anymore, but he had a sit-down interview with Ron Paul. And he said, Congressman Paul, what do you think about gay marriage? What do you think about the homosexual agenda? And I'll tell you one thing. If you want to see an Olympic runner run fast, well, you'll have to just see Ron Paul as he dances and twists and dodges. Have you ever seen the picture that I published online and in my newsletter, Rahm Emanuel, the Jewish White House chief of staff, in his ballerina clothes? I say ballerina, you know, he's a ballet guy. Well, Ron Paul, I'm gonna have to buy some ballerina pants and shirt and send to him. Dance on, Ron Paul, promoting that gay agenda. It's online, powerofprophecy.com. I explain. Did you know it recently at a conservative political action committee conference, the followers of Ron Paul were there and they were chanting for pro-homosexuality? You said, Tex, that cannot be. Ron Paul is a constitutionalist. Yeah, I suppose he is. He's a fiscal conservative. I've heard that. He wants to abolish the Fed. Well, good for him. He's also a promoter of homosexuality. So there you are. And he's a Roman Catholic, of course. Conspiracy World is the book we're talking about. You can order it through us at powerofprophecy.com, or you can call us toll free right here, 1-800-234-9673, or you can send us an envelope with your address, ask for the book Conspiracy World, total of $30. It'll take care of the postage. We'll get it right back to you. Conspiracy World, it's been on the bestseller list on Amazon.com for a little while. By the way, Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the hidden cabal behind the plot to murder America, Rothschild's Choice, my video this weekend, was number 7 among all the political documentaries. There are thousands of them on Amazon.com. In our video, Rothschild's Choice was number 7 in the whole world on Rothschild's Choice. Some people said, Tex, do you make a lot of money there in Power Prophecy? No, we actually lost money last year. It cost us a lot to produce these videos, these books, to do the things, our orphanage project, of course, that we support, our ministry going around the world here on radio, by newsletter, in print, and on the web. But that's okay. We have a lot of friends out there who send us love gifts and donations that keep us going. We don't make any money on our videos or anything, and I accept no royalties. Let me tell you again, I don't accept any royalties on my books, Conspiracy World and all the others. Now, I do, I think, from some publishers way back, you know, Dork Seekers of the New Age, because those were done by other publishers, so I get a few little royalties from that. But basically, every book, every video that we do, all the money that we, you know, make, I say make, in other words, the income that we get from those, goes into the ministry. And the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've had a deficit. We've actually lost money in the ministry. But thank God for the love gifts, the donations, the tithes and offerings that we get in Power of Prophecy. We're able to keep going because of your gifts. And we thank you so much for that. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Vatican shame today. You know, according to USA Today, December 31st, Pope Benedict XVI has issued a new encyclical. They call that a bull. I think that's sort of an interesting name, a bull. That's when he comes out with a major doctrine or teaching. He weighed in with some very strong language. He called for, listen to this, a true world political authority to manage the global economy. He wants a new world order. But it's got to be one, he says, he actually uses these words, it must be armed with teeth, T-E-E-T-H. Armed with teeth, it's got to have power, says Pope Benedict. I want a true world political authority, that's his words, a true world political authority to manage the global economy. He talks in there about redistribution of wealth. You know, I think Obama's been doing a lot of listening to the Pope. He probably keeps this encyclical, the White House residence under his bed pillow. Well, if you visit the papal residence, you're going to find a huge sex organ, a phallic symbol, right there in the square. Now, it's not really a square. It's like, well, you'll have to look at a picture of it. It's an Egyptian obelisk right there in front of St. Peter's basilica, or cathedral, as I call it. What's an Egyptian obelisk, which is a sign of Osiris, the sun god, doing there? I think you get the message. Inside, there is a huge, inside the sanctuary, a huge canopy over an altar, and it's held up by four pillars, and they're serpentine. In other words, they have serpents going up them. Serpents. Four serpentine pillars. In this month's newsletter, May 2010, that will be coming out, or it maybe has already been issued, you may already have it, have some pictures of that, those pillars, and the Egyptian obelisk outside the Vatican, in the courtyard. And inside, there is a fantastic Vatican statue by Michelangelo, the great Italian artist. It shows Old Testament prophet Moses, but I didn't particularly like the statue, even though it was done by Michelangelo. I think my distaste for it had something to do with the two horns sticking out of Moses' head. You know, I just don't think Moses had horns sticking out of his head, but he does in the statue inside St. Peter's Basilica. I have a picture also of Pope Benedict XVI carrying his little scepter to show he's, you know, God on earth. And he's wearing his Dagon fish god hat or headdress. And look very carefully when you get my newsletter. And by the way, this will be online. And you'll see that he has a strange symbol on that Dagon fish god headdress. The old Canaanites worship Dagon, the fish god. They cut off the head, you know, of the one of the kings of Israel, put it on a silver platter, and went in and offered it up to their god, Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. He arrived from the sea. In occult satanic lore and legend, it is said that their great god, Lucifer, arrived from outer space and landed in the ocean. And he rose up out of the sea as half man, half fish, a beast, a sea beast. You say, well, isn't that sort of fantastic and crazy? Well, you know, the symbology is quite interesting because it goes right along with Revelation 13, verse 1. John says, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, it's interesting that when Pope Benedict this very week visited the island of Malta, they said he took care not to arrive in a helicopter or a jet, but they put him in a boat. And he came up in a boat. He came up from the sea. And while he was there, he visited a very special little chapel. Isn't that quaint? Little chapel. Malta has a lot of Catholic churches and chapels. But in the city of Valletta, Malta, where the Pope came up from the sea and met a throng of youth who he preached to, supposedly, they then took him to this little cathedral called the Cathedral of St. John. Now, I know quite a bit about the Cathedral of St. John. As you know, I wrote an entire book on mysterious monuments, the monuments and architecture of Satan and his devils that's spread across the earth. I did a video called Architectural Colossus illustrating these things. But this was a very special cathedral. Actually, it's not on my video. I'm going to have to do it, though, because I've got so much information on this. Now, let me just read to you an article. Now, actually, this is from an American newspaper, the Beaver Country Times, December 3rd, 1989. You see, in 1989, two world leaders met at Malta. One was President Bush, the elder, and one was the president of Russia, or the Soviet Union then, Gorbachev. Gorbachev brought his wife along, Raisa, or A-I-S-A. Now, before Gorbachev came on by ship, they come by water, both he and Bush, they both arrived by ship. Gorbachev and Bush arrived by separate ships. Ah, yes, symbolically. You understand what I'm talking about. And there, according to the New York Times, they together forged a new world order. That's what it said in the New York Times, the headline. They forged together a new world order so the ships would not pass by each other at night, but they stopped. This is the conflict of opposites coming together according to the Hegelian dialectic. The two ships come together at night, and it's the thesis and antithesis or antithesis, and they bring together a synthesis, a coming together. They become as one and forge the new world order. And right before Gorbachev got in that ship and went over to the island of Malta, he went to Rome. Yes, he and his wife, Raisa Gorbachev, met Pope John Paul II at the Vatican. And I have a picture of that. She wore a very interesting dress when she visited the Pope. She wore a red dress, colored red. The goddess, of course, the whore of Babylon, she wears scarlet too. And she dressed in a charcoal that is a black coat over her red dress, and she met the Pope. And as they talked to Pope John Paul II, Gorbachev and his wife of this great superpower, the Soviet Union, the cameras noted behind the Pope a great picture of the goddess, Mary. But in that picture, Mary was black. It was the Black Virgin that so many in Poland worship. The Black Virgin. Was Mary black? No, but that picture, that painting was black, of the Black Virgin. They have a chapel dedicated to this Black Virgin, Mary. It's called the Cathedral of St. John. And that's where Pope Benedict XVI went and visited. But I'm reading to you from 1989. Because as her husband Gorbachev, Mikhail Gorbachev, was meeting with Bush and forging this new world order and coming to an agreement, Raisa left by a small boat from the luxury liner that she was on out in the sea. By the way, the New York Times noted that seas were very choppy that day. Interesting. Very choppy. Difficult to get into this small boat. But they took Raisa to the Cathedral of St. John. She especially said, I want to visit the cathedral. Now you have to understand, Raisa Gorbachev had a doctorate degree in political ideology and doctrine, that is communism, from an established, well-established, and well-known Russian university. She wrote many papers on atheism, making fun and mocking Christianity and religion. But when she arrived at Malta, she said, I want to visit the Cathedral of St. John. Now, let me just read to you for this news article, just a few items from it. Dateline, Valletta, Malta. And by the way, I did tell you, I'd tell you about the bird, the falcon, the Maltese falcon. Well, I'm glad to. The falcon is one of the holy birds of the great goddess of Babylon, Egypt, Rome, and Greece. The falcon. They have figurines, they have statues of the falcon in ancient Egypt. Even Isis, it was one of her symbols. Now, it says here, Raisa Gorbachev braved a gale, you know, like a storm, on Saturday to visit a 16th century cathedral built by the Knights of Malta. It says the storm and weariness kept the Soviet leader's wife aboard during the morning. The Maxim Gorky, the Soviet luxury liner, docked in the bay. But after lunch, she decided to visit the Cathedral of St. John. Her decision to visit the cathedral was sudden, said the cathedral curator, Monsignor Carmel Sibaris. The cathedral, this news item says, was built by the Sovereign Military Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem, of Rhodes, and of Malta. The Knights of Malta. It is the oldest existing order of chivalry, also known as the Knights of Malta. It goes on to say that Miss Gorbachev was especially enthralled by a painting known as The Beheading of St. John by Italian Renaissance painter Caravaggio. It was his last and most famous work, and it's kept in a locked area of the church. Oh, yes. A locked area of the church. Cathedral of St. John's. And there, the Knights of Malta, devils that they are, pedophiles that many of them are, pay a pilgrimage. And there they have a secret chapel within the chapel. It's kept locked. But Reza Gorbachev, an atheist, a communist atheist, was allowed access. I believe she worshipped there. And there at the centerpiece of the altar in this secret location is a painting entitled The Beheading of St. John. Now, I believe there's a reason why Pope Benedict the 16th went to Malta. Now, here's a headline for you. Listen to this very carefully. Listen to this. This is from, well, there are 100 different articles online about it, newspapers. It says, the Pope met privately with 8 Maltese victims of sexual abuse in the Vatican's embassy in Valletta, in Malta. Oh, he met with 8 victims. You see, it seems that at the island of Malta, they have especially a problem with pedophile homosexual priests. And it is reported that there are at least 447 known cases of pedophilia by the priest of Malta. And the Pope came and met with 8 of the victims. Now, 8 is the number of the goddess in ancient religious numerology. You see, 7 is God's perfect number, 7, according to numerologists. And after God's reign is over, then will come the reign of the great goddess, the mistress of Satan. Her number is 8. She will succeed God, according to the occultist. And so the Pope met privately with exactly 8 Maltese victims of sexual abuse. And it's said here that the Pope had tears in his eyes. Oh, yes, he had tears in his eyes as he promised the Roman Catholic Church will bring abusers to justice. He said, I feel your suffering. Reminds me a lot of Bill Clinton. Remember, he was always prone to saying that, I feel your pain. Now, almost at the same time, another story came out. Headline, Rome. I have the Guardian United Kingdom newspaper item on it. Evidently, there's a group that sort of takes care of the Pope during his personal Catholic masses and such. They're like ushers, and they take care of helping to make sure the altar's set up and the lights are turned on. They're called the Gentlemen of His Holiness. And they're always distinguished, usually very wealthy, Italian men. It seems that Angelo Balducci, one of these Gentlemen of His Holiness, was caught by police on a wiretap negotiating with one of the top Vatican officials who is what they call a chorister, meaning he's a member of the chorus. You know, you hear all this, oh, all these, the choral. The choir, a choir master, was negotiating some sexual details with Mr. Balducci. Seeing that Mr. Balducci is a man who regularly orders up homosexuals, including young boys, from the Vatican. He calls to the choir director, or you might call him a choir director, a chorister, and gives him the specific physical details of the young men he wants brought to him. Of course, he pays quite well for it. According to the Guardian and Roman newspapers, Balducci finds men when he's over there as one of the Gentlemen of His Holiness. And he especially likes the young men that are in the choir, but also the young ushers and the young priests and seminarians. And he calls for them and they come to his fancy apartment. But he keeps things very secret because, you see, Angelo Balducci, a Gentleman of His Holiness, is married. And he doesn't want people to know what exactly he's doing. The article is entitled, by the way, Vatican Hit by Gay Sex Scandal. Vatican chorister, or choir leader, sacked for allegedly procuring male prostitutes for papal gentlemen in waiting. Meanwhile, of course, we have this article from the London Times. Pope Benedict himself knew of all these priests that are pedophile, but let them go. and allowed him to continue with ministry. One of them was an American priest. I believe it was up in Wisconsin. And he was a priest in charge of this school for the deaf. Young boys. A school for the deaf. It turns out that this priest, who was head of this school for the deaf, the boys, molested a staggering 200 of them. 200 deaf boys. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said, Jesus Christ said in the scriptures, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around the neck of a man and that he be thrown into the sea rather than harm one of these little ones. You understand me? These monstrous Catholic priests and the Pope, by the way, who covered up for this priest, the very priest I'm talking about that molested 200 deaf boys, the Pope allowed him to continue and told the Catholic Church at that location, do not turn him into the police. Let him go. Cover it up. And he's not the only one this Pope, this German Catholic Pope, has covered up for. Even back when he was Archbishop of Munich and freezing Germany from 1977 to 82, he was covering up for priests in Germany. Then when he was head of the doctrine of the Catholic Church under Pope John Paul II, that was his position, he was the last one they went to before they were going to censure or punish a homosexual pedophile priest. And Ratzinger, what an appropriate name, Ratzinger, Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, let a lot of these criminals go. Folks, where are the cops? I have Newsweek magazine this week. The cover of Newsweek, put out by Jews, of course, has a picture of Mary, and it says, what would Mary do about the Catholic Church and its sins? That's the front cover of Newsweek. What would Mary do? Let Mary alone. She's gone on to her rest. She's up in heaven. Let her alone. I want to know something. What are human beings? What are the police going to do? And if you're a member of the Catholic Church, what are you going to do? Don't ask what would Mary do. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd run from this church. Don't walk. Don't stroll. Run as fast as you can from this pedophile church and these pedophile priests and a pedophile pope. You say, well, Tex, you don't have any evidence he's a pedophile. No, but he's a cover-up for pedophiles. He's equally guilty. He's an accessory. It's disgusting. And you know what? That's a crime in itself. He needs to be put in prison. And I would say probably 70 to 80% of the Catholic priests probably deserve to be in prison if we knew the full extent of their crimes. Vatican shame. Crimes. And it extends across the world. This is going on in Ireland, Germany, everywhere. And I want to tell you something, friends. You say, oh, thank God I'm a Baptist. Thank God I'm a Lutheran. Thank God I'm an Episcopal. I'm a Methodist. Oh, hold on. It's going on there too. Satan has a grasp of all of these establishment churches. Let me tell you something, friends. Your hope is not in a church. It's in Jesus Christ himself. You better hold on fast to him. You better hold on. You better love him. You better love him. You better believe in his word, not these false Bible versions, the King James Bible. You better love his word. This is Tex Mars. Been a great pleasure having you today, listening to Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world on Worldwide Christian Radio and 24/7 at powerofprophecy.com. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.